Force Blue. It's a nonprofit that trains military veterans to do conservation work. But these aren't just any veterans. They're retired Navy SEALs, special ops, people who have really extensive government training in scuba diving. And they're using that specialized training to do ocean conservation work. Jim Ritterhoff is executive director and founder of Force Blue. So, Jim, I understand that you work with veterans. You call them combat diver veterans. What does that mean? What's a combat diver?
Well, our guys are special operations veterans. They come from all branches of the military, reconnaissance Marines, Navy SEALs, Army Special Forces, Air Force Pararescue. And basically what the designation combat diver means is it's a type of training that our special operations veterans receive in the military. It's one of many schools that they go to become, you know, these elite special operations troopers. But the combat dive designation is a particularly rigorous one. It's one of the more difficult schools in the U.S. military. So our guys have all been trained, you know, millions of dollars have been invested in them throughout their military careers to make them these amazing underwater operators. And, you know, sort of the idea behind Force Blue is let's take the training these guys already have and now repurpose it and retool them to do conservation work, to be able to apply what they've already been taught, but to do it in a way that, again, helps, you know, the greater good, which is what they're all about.
Mm. So tell me about some of the conservation work that you've done with these veterans.
Yeah, well, we trained our first group of guys last May, six guys that we put through a two-week, basically just an indoctrination into Force Blue. Our instructor staff featured some of the very best marine scientists and environmentalists out there, sort of just getting the guys to think about the ocean in a different way, correct? So right on the heels of that, I mean, right after our training deployment, Hurricanes Irma and Maria hit particularly hard in the Florida Keys and Puerto Rico, and we were immediately deployed to go down there and help do some restoration work. So we spent about a month in the Florida Keys and then did two separate missions to Puerto Rico, working with NOAA and the Ocean Conservancy, National Fish and Wildlife Federation. Probably the most iconic thing that we've done, like most sort of sums up what we're capable of, actually took place in the Florida Keys. There was a 1,000-pound, 500-year-old pillar coral that had been ripped, literally ripped off the reef by Hurricane Irma. Now, the guys we were with from NOAA, their protocols don't allow them to lift anything over 100 pounds. That's just the rules, right? They told us where this pillar coral was, and they said, we can't do anything about it, but maybe you guys can. And our guys got six lift bags on this thing. You know, you're talking about divers who've lifted like predator drones off the ocean floor, you know? So it was nothing to these guys. They just got it up, cemented it back onto the reef. And when we came back to the dive boat, the dive guys who had taken us out, the operators, were crying because they were like, you guys, you have no idea what you just did. You just rescued a T-Rex, right? That was what they said, because there are only like four of these giant pillar corals left in all of the Florida Keys, and this was one of them. And it's a lot of heavy lifting, and it's a lot of really hard work. And, you know, the conditions for this kind of work, particularly after these hurricanes, you know, you can't see. The water's very murky. It's a lot of current. It's difficult conditions, you know, but that's what our guys thrive in. You know, the harder it is, the better.
And you speak of your work in terms of missions and deployment. That's really the language of the military. Yeah. So it seems like that's still very much a part of the mindset of what you're doing.
Yeah, we've made a very conscious effort to make this seem, the training, the way we deploy, to feel as much like the military. It's what these guys are used to, and it's how they respond, you know. So, you know, you often tell people, like, when we do our training deployment, we were in, you know, the Cayman Islands last year for 2 weeks. And that sounds like, you know, hammocks and pina coladas.
Sign me up.
Yeah, but it wasn't at all. It was very much like, you know, the way a military school would be run, like up at 7 a.m. every morning for physical training, and then breakfast, and then classroom work, lectures, and then very mission-focused diving. So every time we would go out into the water, the guys would have something they would need to accomplish, right? So we do try to use the language of the military and, you know, make it feel as much like home for these guys as we can.
Right. I imagine it must be really hard for them to go from a really high-pace, stressful job like serving in active military and then come back to the U.S. and be expected to work at a desk.
Yeah, I think that's very astute. And that is really what we're all about. I think as civilians, we hear a lot about, you know, issues that our veterans are facing. We hear about PTSD, but I think we tend to think of it as traumatic experiences that the guys are having problems processing. While that's certainly a part of it, but the bigger challenge in particular for our guys, special operations community, is this sense of not having a mission anymore. What we always say is we're not a dive therapy program, which, you know, there are for veterans. There's some very great ones out there that actually take veterans and teach them how to scuba dive, and that's the therapy. Our guys are already the best divers in the world. We're a mission therapy program. We're all about giving them back that sense of, like, your skill set can still be utilized. We can take the training that you already have and the qualities that made you so successful in the military and now use those for the greater good, for a cause larger than themselves, which is really all they're about. These guys are like, they want to save the world. That's who they are.
And so what kinds of changes or what kind of reactions do you see in the veterans after they deploy on some of your missions, if any?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I always tell the anecdote about my co-founder, Rudy Reyes, and I, his dear friend of mine, had been struggling with some of his challenges he was facing in assimilating back after, you know, 5 or 6 combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, and, you know, he'd been everywhere. And I took him scuba diving, and our very first dive, he came up and he's like, "Did you see that fish?" I was like, "What are you talking about? There's a million fish. That's the whole point of it." He's a trained military combat diver, and he had never seen a fish underwater, because that's not what diving was like for these guys. Diving for them was at night on a rebreather, hauling 200 pounds of gear to go blow something up or rescue someone, or, you know, very dangerous work. They never had the opportunity to kind of look at the environment, to see it and to understand it for, you know, the ecosystems that exist there. So all of a sudden, you get these guys down there and it's like opening a whole new world to them. And the sense of wonder and awe that they had, you know, they were just like little kids experiencing something they never had before. So yeah, we always talk about it in the terms of like seeing the light come back on. You just see these guys get back to who they were. The other interesting part is we try to serve up the ocean in particular to these guys as a community, right? That is interdependent, interrelated, and that's under threat. And if you think about it, all these guys have done in their careers is serve communities that are at risk, that are under threat. So when you put it in those terms for these guys, they immediately get it. And they're like, "What can we do? We got to go do something. We got to help." And when you bring together the qualities that they have, the skill sets that they have, and then you give them that motivation, they're unstoppable.
So, I mean, if they weren't necessarily environmentalists to begin with, is it safe to say that their friends, their community, that's probably not much part of the culture either, are they taking this ethos back with them to their community at large?
Yeah, that's a major part of why we, you know, we created Forcible. Because look, whether, you know, our goal is to grow it and 4 or 5 years from now have 50, 100 guys that we're able to deploy around the world doing this stuff. But the reality is, those small numbers of people aren't going to change the world, right? Our guys aren't going to stop ocean acidification or the, you know, rising temperatures or some of the real underlying causes of what's happening to our oceans. But what they can do is be a megaphone to reach people who otherwise, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's politics or just personal opinion, aren't getting the message about what's happening to our planet. You know, people who are not going to listen to another climate change scientist talk about global warming will go, "Oh, Navy SEALs, Recon Marine, these guys are my heroes," right? If they're engaged in this fight, let me think about it. Let me hear what they're saying. And we hope that that's a way to get a whole other section of the population engaged in at least understanding. We always say, hey, we don't care if you get on the boat from the left side or the right side. We're all on the same boat, right? So
yeah.
It's one team, one fight. That's kind of our motto.
So what qualifies somebody to work with Force Blue? How do you choose who you're going to recruit?
Well, the criterion is pretty simple, but it's pretty strict. You have to have been a military-trained combat diver. You have to have deployed overseas with a special operations unit. So again, Navy SEALs, Recon Marines, Army SF, and you had to have actually been in combat, which you know, there are an awful lot of special operations guys who just, you know, throughout their careers, they don't actually deploy on combat deployments. But our guys, all that's our criterion, because we really want to help guys who need the help and need the mission. And, you know, I talked a lot about the environmental side of things, but we also have PTS counseling as part of our training. All our guys, once they go through our little 2-week, you know, here's Forest Blue and here's the ocean, they all go away for 5 days of individual therapy with a woman named Dr. Carrie Elk, who works with us, who specializes in PTS issues with the special operations community. So we need guys who actually need help. That's who we want coming into our program, is guys who are, you know, they're just missing something. And this hopefully gives them that mission back and that sense that they can be productive and that their skills aren't, it wasn't a waste. Like, what did they do for 20 years of their lives? How do they use that now? Well, here's how. You can take that training and, as I said, repurpose it.
Now, I noticed that you talk a lot about our guys. Where are the women? Do you have any women in your group?
We do. Our operations director actually is a woman named Nicole Rosga, who is still with the U.S. Air Force. She's with the Air National Guard in Florida. We have a lot of our instructor staff are like Patty Kirk Gross, Ellie Splain, Guy Harvey's daughter, Jessica Harvey, was one of our instructors. But the reality is the special operations community is largely men. You know, there are some Navy divers, some EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team members who are women. We just haven't found one yet that, you know, most of them are still active duty, ironically, you know, but that's out there. Our plan is not to just be guys, but for right now, it's 12 guys that are our divers.
So what's next for Forest Blue? What are you looking at on the horizon?
Well, we're really excited, Bobby, because in just a few weeks, we're going to be training our second group of veteran combat divers, 6 guys who've been selected, and we'll go through a 2-week training program with us. And then when that ends, early fall, we hope to be deploying again. There's a chance we may go down to Florida to do some more work down there. We've talked to people from Hawaii and the West Coast who have some projects they'd like to get us involved in. So it's really what we can raise the money to do and who needs us, because our guys are ready to go.
Well, good luck with your missions and good luck with all that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Jim Ritterhoff is the executive director and co-founder of Forest Blue. Thanks, Jim, for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, thanks so much, Bobby.